thank you for calling out.
We're currently using.
All right, any other announcements and reminders? All right, any work items that people want to bring up? All right, so let's get to the main agenda. So we're very pleased to have Christina, Ankur, and Daniel from Microsoft to talk about their latest developments on Microsoft Entra Verify ID at the W3C CCG meeting today. So some of you guys know, if you know, my impression is that Microsoft Entra Verify ID is actually one of the biggest, if not the biggest, commercial deployment of self-sovereign and decentralized identity today. So very, very excited to learn more about the latest innovations that they're doing at Microsoft. So the without further ado, just want to give a quick warm welcome to Daniel, Ankur, and Christina. All right, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My name is Ankur Patel. For those who don't know me, I lead our product development efforts for Entra Verified ID, which is a managed implementation of all the good open standards work that goes on across the industry, specifically in the context of decentralized identity. So we'll share with you some of our work, our learnings along the way, the current progress. Christina will cover our progress on implementation of standards and some of the next steps around it. And Daniel will walk us through the architecture of how we implemented it. These are, again, overviews. You have our contact information. We're happy to dive into details of any of it. And if you have questions, feedbacks, comments, please put it in chat. I'll keep an eye on it. And I don't know what the rest of the protocol is. Raise your hands or otherwise. I would love for this to be a discussion, and we can do some of it now. And then, of course, we can do follow-up discussions as appropriate as well. So with that preamble, let's dive in. I'll try to share my screen. We have put together a few slides. So window, do that, share. Can you see that okay?
Yes.
Great. So we think about this as decentralized identity work at Microsoft, which is a key framing, which is we are one of the implementers of this big ambition that the community has led for some for a very long time now. Our work started with this incubation hypothesis. It took us 2 years, in fact, to come to creating this hypothesis, which was we believe each of us needs a digital identity that we own and control. And this comes from a place where I'm on the same team that operates Microsoft Account. That's how you do Xbox, HoloLens, Windows, Outlook, etc. So there's more than a billion people around the world who do those things every day. It includes Azure Active Directory, which is the enterprise identity management system for 96% of Fortune 500 companies, a whole bunch of governments around the world, including the United Nations. It includes LinkedIn as our professional, right? So consumer, professional, and at work. We operate all of these different account systems. One of the things we've come to realize that our digital identity is bigger than that. And so how might we move towards that world? And the reason we want to do it is because our mission statement as a company is to empower every person and business to achieve more, not the 2 or 3 billion that we reach today. And oh, by the way, make it work whether Microsoft is online or not. Make it work whether it's Microsoft's policy as a business to allow or not. Because that's not our choice. Our choice is about empowerment. And then local context, whether it's regulatory or business, can decide how best to partner with each other. We want to ensure highest security, compliance, privacy, and convenience for using such systems. So that's why we embarked on this journey several years ago. And the second part was super important to us because our customers told us this, governments around the world told us this, that by the way, make sure it's compatible with the existing internet. Not ask people to rewrite all of the applications, devices, and their lives to start over for those outcomes. So how do we strike a balance between the two? These are the two things we've held ourselves accountable to. The first release of this went live for us earlier this summer on August 8th. So it has taken us 4 years to kind of go about doing the best we can to releasing this work. And this work today is very much in the enterprise context. We're still not ready to support the scenarios the world is imagining in the context of self-sovereignty, if you will. There's a lot more work remains, and I'll share with you some of that detail as to why we are making such nuanced statements. It's a good segue to the current state of affairs on standards. So I'll hand off to Christina to walk us through what we've done so far and where we're trying to go.
So just to give a brief overview, most of you should be aware with most of the standards used in our tech stack. So starting from the entity identifier, the bottom lib was probably wrong, but we use decentralized identifiers, DIDs, DID web for issuers and verifiers, and DIDION long form for issuer, holder, or verifier. So our customers would have that choice. And also we do use well-known DID configuration specifications from Div to establish binding between DID and the domain name. For the lifecycle management / revocation, we do use W3CCCG status list 2021. We're using a pre-draft version. We're waiting for a final specification, so hoping it's getting final soon. And we're hosting it in the Identity Hub, certain version of decentralized AppNode. Again, another div spec. For data model, it's W3CVC data model, so it's a JotVC. Transport protocol-wise, it's OpenID for VC stack and with presentation exchange. So yeah, it's pretty straightforward. That's what we do.
One comment in the upper right-hand corner that you see, we are actively working on exploring ideas around SDJOT, for example, for enabling support for selective disclosure. This is one of the examples of us wanting to ensure compatibility with the existing internet, as well as moving the ball forward on enabling new scenarios. But we want to do those scenarios when said standard support is available, interoperability is achievable. So, Christina, can you take 2 more minutes to talk about our interoperability work as well here, and then I'll re-echo that a bit later.
Okay, that's a great point. So our approach to interoperability has been interoperability profiles. There is a work happening in DIF with the presentation, starting this presentation profile, whereas there is a tech stack consisting of pretty much standards you see on the screen as a one way to interoperate for certain scenarios, mainly, Ankur will talk to. So that, people who, implementers, customers who realize how important moving towards this issuer holder verifier model is, and they want, start implementing, crossing the chasm towards that model, they have this clear tech stack, saying, if you implement this, you can interoperate right away. And again, it's not to say that's the way or the only way, to say it's our way, how we can ensure interoperability and meet these first use cases.
Unmute myself. So that's a quick overview of our stack. There's a lot more detail in it. You might have lots of questions. So please put in chat or follow us offline. Happy to dive into any of that detail as appropriate. I'm going to try to queue up a demo so we can actually look at some of this stuff working. So what does this unlock for us? We went and talked to our customers, and 92% of those organizations today state they do these activities around onboarding employees, contractors, customers, vendors, suppliers. And that's the pattern that we observed, that the best place that we think we can leverage a decentralized approach is on cross-domain verification. And these processes listed on the screen, that's the start of it. The next thing that ends up happening is access to high-value applications and resources. So Azure Active Directory, for example, does tens of billions of daily authentication events at 4 nines today, from an availability and reliability perspective. However, we want to augment that system to now bring verifiability in addition to ease of use and security. And so our ambition is to empower our enterprise customers who end up working with consumers, who end up working with governments, for that matter, some governments are enterprises in that sense, to use these decentralized rails to continue to have the benefits of ease of use and security, but augmented with privacy and portability. This becomes particularly more important when we go to things like self-service account recovery. Today, most of them rely on things like an email round trip or SMS round trip or knowledge-based questions, like asking what street you grew up on. Not very interesting. Go ask Google. Everybody knows. And therefore, thinking about how might we bring verifiability by going to the most suitable authoritative source without doing custom integration work would be better received. As a result, 82% of that audience also said they wish there was a safer, faster, easier way of doing these things. So these are bread and butter problems for enterprises today around the world. Web3 and other WebN numbers we can put on also have similar needs. But one of the things we've come to learn is there are here and now companies with budgets and consumers with needs that we can address immediately. And that's one of the key reasons why I do this job at Microsoft, because they have a privileged role to enable this jumpstart adoption of this work for a large set of population. We think these credentials, therefore, can help power the trust fabric for the internet. Each bubble on the screen today could be considered a cloud, right? Like many universities around the world run on Azure Active Directory, for example. But that domain-specific credential, whether it's an OAuth token or FIDO token, only works for their own university context. But if you issued a verified ID now as an internet-facing credential, they can continue learning their learning with any preferred institution around the world that chooses to onboard them. They can get a student checking account. They can get an internship with an employer. They can prove their skills on LinkedIn. They can get a student discount at retailers and so on and so forth. So we have found tremendous interest from our enterprise customers on wanting to go this way because it helps their own businesses. It helps security and compliance. It helps them give new value and tailored value for their customers without incurring new privacy and security risks, if I may. I'll pause here, just take a quick temperature check if anybody has any questions or comments before I go into this. Tells you the why we are doing it. Next, I'll show you what is it and how does it actually work.
Actually, we have Alan on the queue. Alan, do you want to ask your question?
Yeah, on your opening slide, you said everybody wants to have an identity that they control. Isn't it more proper to say identities? I mean, even in the enterprise,
sure,
I have an identity for my employer, but also for the contract I'm working on.
You are correct. And so it's important for us to, there were so many words and nuances to consider. The
recording is on.
Oh, sorry, one second. I just turned on my other computer. One thing to note is we completely believe that people have to have control over personas and facets of their lives that they share. And then it's a matter of, are those separate identities or are there personas? And we as identity community have had this debate and argument forever. One of the things that we learned from consumer research on this work, like end users, how do you think about it? Their vocabulary is, there is one of me. There are different projections of me that I share with different people, even in my analog life, forget digital. And therefore, we arrived at this idea of a digital identity. But the idea is very much about supporting multiple personas, profiles, constructs, separation of concerns that has to be rooted in from ground up. So hopefully that helps clarify some of our comment. Okay. I'm going to share a quick demo, so let's do that. Anybody else have any comments as I bring up my demo? Okay, sounds like we're in good shape. So I'll go to Woodgrove here. I'll try to share from this screen, Hardwire app. I don't know if that's possible or not, but I will start sharing. Perfect. Hopefully you can see that okay. Yeah. So this scenario, as I mentioned, for us is enterprise focused. And think about Woodgrove is a fictitious company. They are trying to hire someone. Matthew Michael gets an email invitation or shows up in person to join this company. And the first thing they ask them is, hey, we don't know you. We need you to get verified with a partner we trust. And so in this case, they're sending them to a fictitious company called True Identity Inc. Such processes have been used by banks all over the world for a very long time. We have done partnerships with 10 leading identity verification companies. I'll show you who they are a bit later. Who can do things like take a selfie, upload a government-issued identity document. But instead of sharing this data on the back end and the user not knowing what kind deed got done in their name, in our world, we are saying there should be issued a verified ID or a verifiable credential. So I will go to the screen here and put up that guy. Let's do it. Okay. For demonstration purpose, to make it easy, I'm scanning this QR code, which results in an OpenID Connect request. I'm typing in a PIN to establish trust across domains. I click Next. I get a credential issued to me. I click Add. In this case, True Identity is the issuer. They are attesting to a bunch of claims for their current business process. I can go back to my employer and say, hey, I completed verification with a partner you trust. I can present to you that attestation. This is a presentation request, just like any other OpenID Connect. Whoop, kick this off somehow. Did it stop sharing?
Yeah, I lost it at least. Might need to reshare.
Yeah, let me do that. Trying, here we go. Click share. Rejoining in 15 seconds. Oh, I've been disconnected. Hang on. Network. The phone got kicked out.
It's because you're trying to demo. This is what always happens.
There's too much. Three devices, sharing on corporate Wi-Fi network with a personal Wi-Fi. Not crazy. But I will keep talking in the meantime. So the request here would have been an OpenID Connect request for requesting a verifiable credential. So in our case, we are changing that Connect request to, instead of asking for an OAuth token or FIDO token, you can now ask for a verifiable credential. And in this case, the verifiable credential that was issued by True Identity Inc. that you saw was against a decentralized identifier that is locally minted on the phone. In our case, we are currently using Ion Longform that Ori is on the call. I saw him, so I can do some name dropping. Helped develop a while ago. And we are continuing to use that. The identifier for the issuer is based on DidWeb. And we also support DidIon as a method. So enterprises can choose whether they want to use a permission system or a permissionless system as their root of trust, if you will.
Excuse me, we're seeing your slides, not the demo.
Yeah, I'm about to switch. Okay. I just joined. Thank you. Here we go. So now I can go back to the demo. So this is a presentation request that I'm getting. In this case, Woodgrow wants to know that I'm an, let me start the presentation request again. Scan the QR code. And it should result in a new request. I click share and they're able to present. Oh, let's view needs to refresh now. All these things were a lot easier when you would get in a room, but then you have to travel. Actually, I don't know if it's any easier in the room. We fiddle with the HDMI cable. Okay. Now that I have presented this credential, I can continue my onboarding. They were able to verify the signature that it came from a partner they trust. It has the information they need. Going forward, Woodgrow can now issue me a verified employee credential. So that's another key thing we're doing is we're going to make every Azure AD customer be able to issue these credentials, whether it's for their employees, their vendors, their customers, their students, or whatever it might be. And we are making it part of Azure AD free. So that's a commercial thing for us that we believe so strongly in this that it helps improve the zero trust posture that we believe this should be available to all enterprise customers for free. Now, one of the things about these credentials is I can use it not only at work, but also beyond work, right? So this is my work. One of the first things I can do is order a computer for a discount for work. So I go to ProSware. And if I want to get my enterprise discount, how many federations can ProSware possibly set up? Versus, they can request a credential of type, verified employee. And if my employer is on this list, I get my discount. And best of all, one of the things we have embraced is this idea of a receipt. So the user has an independently signed receipt of every interaction they have had with the credential so that they can present this for audit and governance for their own lives, to regulators or otherwise. Okay, so that's a quick demo. I'm going to switch back over to Slideware on my end. Okay. So that's what we call Entra-Verified ID. It's a common set of APIs and Rails using which, it hasn't switched for you, it looks like. I will try it again. Window, click here, there again.
Yeah, I think you're up on the screen share here.
Okay, and is it showing Entra-Verified ID now instead of my demo screen?
Yep, and just to jump in real quick with a quick question. You mentioned receipt. Is that just coming back in form of a verifiable credential? And are you tracking some of the things around like software supply chain and receipts for, you know, checking in builds and things like that, or trying to align?
That would be an application of this work, right? So there's no special work we're doing for it. But yeah, so our colleagues in GitHub are exploring such things, for example, right?
Okay.
And then LinkedIn is doing their own exploration and Xbox is doing their own exploration. So these are all the places how we can see we can help jumpstart adoption of issuance and presentation of said credentials.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Cool. So we think this is a better way to verify. Not only is it easy to use and secure, but it's verifiable, transparent, and convenient. So we are building this into existing Microsoft Authenticator app. But as Christina mentioned, we are also ensuring interoperability. So the SDK that we use to build Authenticator experience is implementing that same VC interop profile that she described. And we are able to actually demonstrate interoperability with Ping, Workday, Matter, Spruce, IBM, and a whole bunch of companies.
Avast,
right? So there's a bunch of partners around the ecosystem who are all kind of holding each other accountable, and we're trying to do it the right way. One implementation of this is in Microsoft Authenticator. And we think, again, we can help adoption on the enterprise side, and some of those other brands can help in other industries and scenarios for which they are the preferred vendor. But most importantly, this won't be a one-way street. We are by default ensuring we work with each other. Okay, let's keep going. So what's underneath this is a platform for us. The management interface for it, for enterprises to issue, request, and verify, is built into Azure Portal, which is available to every Azure AD customer today on, by default, free. It's included in their subscription. The entire service is comprised of a handful of APIs. Daniel is our architect on our team. He'll walk you through what that looks like next. So there's some simple-to-use REST APIs. And then there is the end-user wallet-like experience, which in our case we built into Authenticator, but we're implementing, again, the interop profile, the SDK. We are keenly interested in that open wallet work that the community is championing next. So lots of good stuff happening. I'll hold it to Daniel now on some taking a quick overview for architecture.
Hey. Yeah, so quick overview. We have three big architecture goals here. So the first one is a decentralized system to request and verify credentials at scale. I mean, scale is obvious. To be successful, we have to be able to operate at scale. But I think here the key word is really decentralized. Our system does not hold or save any of the keys or credential in the service, right? So for the issuer and verifier, we use a tenant key vault. When we need to sign a payload, we make a request to their key vault and say, hey, can you sign this payload for me? Right. And on the, and on the configuration wise, we save only the tenant configuration that enables us to power these scenarios, right? Nothing related to the credentials themselves. On the end user side, as Anchor was saying, we have an implementation in Authenticator, and we have a verified ID wallet library. And the credentials and the keys are stored on the user device in the wallet itself. So there's no credentials or anything against saving the service. The second point is interop. I think that Christina and Kerr already covered that. There's, for us to be successful, we have to have a good interop story, right? Going back to the verified employee example that Anchor had earlier, me as an end user, right? I want to be able to get a verified employee credential from an issuer, for example, using the Microsoft as its provider, and then be able to present it to a verifier on a different provider, right? I should not be concerned about who's the provider of the service that I'm interacting with, right? So that's why for us, obviously, interop is key. And that ties to point number three, right? As Christina was pointing out, the standard, there's a lot of standard involved and they're still evolving, right? And because of that, we want to abstract it from the end users, right? For me as a third party that wants to build solution, leveraging verified ID and verified credentials, I should not have to learn every standard and keep up to speed on what they are and what, how to make them interoperable and all of that, right? So for this reason, we are providing simple REST APIs for issuer and verifiers. And on the wallet, we have an SDK. So we have our own implementation in Authenticator, but we have a library that we make available that is doing the implementation for that, right? Yeah. So we have the... So for example, an issuer wants to create an issuance request. They make a simple REST API call to our service. They get a QR code or a deep link back. They present it to the wallet, and then the wallet and our service handles all the protocols and all that magic for them, right?
One last thing to add for you, Daniel, there is that our documentation then points directly to said standards and specs so that if anybody wants to implement their own version, they can, and
yes,
still be interoperable.
Yes, totally. And we are working with partners that have are working on their own implementation already.
Yeah.
And actually, yes, like you're saying, we our presentation is using OpenID, is a profile based on OpenID for VP, and yeah, we are working on a profile based on OpenID for VCI for issuance.
Okay, so I'm going to move the conversation forward. I noticed a question in the chat around custodial wallet or agent. So in this case, it's an unauthenticated wallet. So Authenticator today, as it says, is unauthenticated. And it handles creating keys, credentials, managing the lifecycle of keys and credentials, basically, as well as receipts. And you can back that up, export the file, basically, all the contents, encrypt with a mnemonic phrase, and take it to another wallet of your choice. This is one of the areas that we want to continue to work with the community on making that experience better. But hopefully that answers your question. The organizers want to recognize anyone else on their questions or comments before I keep going forward. Daniel, did you want to cover anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, I think you hit for sure. It looks like Steve's question there, which is I think I had an overlap on as well. Okay. The one question that I did want to get on, because you do mention kind of and call out that they're, you know, you're utilizing obviously the verified ID REST API that you guys have published up.
Yeah.
The OpenID for VP and VCI, yeah, et cetera, right? That's moving along nicely and is kind of out in the open.
Yes.
What's your sense around like REST APIs that get into more of like system to system type use cases and non-interactive use cases? Yeah. I mean, are you guys planning on, collaborating? Cause obviously if I think about like supply chain use cases,
yeah,
dealing with, You know, is that an area you guys would be willing to collaborate with?
You know, absolutely. Look, the default answer is yes, it's a matter of when and how we go about
it. Because I think the Dynamics team in particular, right, would be a great participant with your guys' input, especially with the traceability API, as he is noting in the chat. So,
Absolutely. And by the way, we're working with those same colleagues, right? So Dynamics also has a thing called fraud, for example.
Yep.
And Office has a set of things where you do signing, for example, and so on and so forth. All the boring enterprise things, there's a widget of that in our company. And we are super interested in it. We have our own supply chain concerns, even for our own devices and software supply chains for that matter as well, right?
Yeah.
So these are all pressing problems for us. But what we thought was we first want to get identity of organizations and individuals who represent such organizations to be trustworthy, at which point I can go talk about applications and processes and devices that those persons and organizations operate.
Makes total sense. Really appreciate the, you know, kind of logical flow and real clear diagramming here. So thanks again from the chairs here.
Okay. So I will proceed.
And I think there was one other question on the queue. Yeah. Hang on. Yep. Alan.
Yeah.
Or Steve might still be on.
Do you have anything about the key and credential recovery, or are you going to leave that up to the individual companies?
Today we just have a rudimentary offer, which is, for the individual side, you're able to back up or export the key, the credentials, and the receipts into a bundle that is protected using a mnemonic phrase. And then you can place it wherever you like, including Google Drive or your home desktop. And then there is an ability to import that back into Authenticator, at least we understand it. We're working with our interop partners to figure out where else we could use such a thing, or who else would be supporting and making it better. That's, in fact, one of the slides in here is next steps on we want to do much better on it. And if community has ideas on what that could be, love to do it. Okay. Should I keep rolling?
Yes.
Yeah, please. I think good to go. Thanks.
So the scenarios are next, right? So where do we see energy from the community around it, particularly around our enterprise customers again? It is on that faster remote onboarding. It is securing access and recovery, and as well as business process. So the onboarding thing, especially in today's economic environment, it's super competitive and people want to reduce their costs, both in time and money that it takes to do this. And there's an existing budget line item for every enterprise to go make this better. And it happens across the board, across the world. And each one resulting in poor privacy and security posture and compliance posture. And so describing the value there and making it reusable has landed really well. The other key place where it applies is securing access to privileged apps. So as I mentioned, we do tens of billions of daily authentication events. Some of them, for example, let's take my own CFO for my company, goes and approves high-value transactions, the chief financial officer for Microsoft. But they use the same multi-factor authentication as they do to check their email. We think we could do better. And bringing in their real-world identity and verification and being able to verify from trusted sources, whether it's the government or other attestations like security training and clearance, super valuable. So there's a whole bunch of initiative around skills, learning, and using those attestations to prove proficiencies to gain access to resources. And from a security zero trust perspective, it is proving to be a really valuable asset because now you're no longer reliant on a single domain or testing new things. And because of the simple APIs that Daniel described, they can go request these APIs from disparate issuers who could be running on completely disparate infrastructure. So they could have a Workday system issuing their workplace credentials, and they could be using an IBM system who's issuing their training credentials, and they could all be presented into Authenticator and gone on to Azure AD accepting them, right, for this customer who wants to work across that ecosystem. That federating through the user has landed really, really well with our enterprise customers. One of those other places, given again today's economic climate, that most companies are super keen on is reducing their costs around support. as you may have heard, like every phone call that you make to get your password reset is $50. That's like a crazy number. And if you can get down to seconds and significantly cheaper, both for the user and, by the way, it's better for privacy and security, it's a win-win-win. So we have found our customers are resonating with a cheaper, faster, more trustworthy way to verify these types of flows and attestations. And it's every business process in the industry. And as much as I keep talking about enterprise, we have to realize that every consumer interaction with a brand, whether you're going to a hotel or a restaurant or getting on an airplane, is an enterprise interaction. And it's these enterprises who are making those design choices. And so our goal here is to make that as simple and intuitive as possible to enable that customer choice and empowerment that I started the call with. There's a bunch of case studies that are public. I need to update these slides because we have a few new ones now in addition. Some of the next steps, if you like, actually, I just saw a comment go by. I'll recap what these three things are. Kaiyo University is using it for student identity and not only having that identity verified on campus but beyond campus. National Health Services in UK is using it for a staff passport for the caregiver side because doctors go from hospital to hospital and getting their identity verified time and again results in time taken away from providing care. Government of Flanders is looking at, they already have digital identity for their citizens. They want to issue these kinds of credentials to citizens so that they can open a new business or do business around the world and still be able to easily verify their identity while respecting their privacy. Some of the next steps we're focused on. We think we've made good progress on registration, key management, interoperability, and it will continue. By no means we are done. However, the next thing we need to add and improve on, as Alan was just asking as well, is around recovery, making it better on revocation, on being able to check fine-grained attributes, how do we reduce correlation there. Next up on stage for us is things around selective disclosure and maybe even zero knowledge proof. But again, we want to lead with interoperability standards first. We have more work to do there as a community. The second key area that we're focused on is performance and scale, as Daniel was mentioning. So DidWeb is the default configuration we have enabled. We do support DidION as a preview method, and it really relies on customer adoption. But from APIs and user experience perspective and developer experience perspective, they don't know any different on which DID method they are interacting with. By design, we have opted for that. But we do make it very clear for issuers and verifiers on where do you want to go and why and so on and so forth. So we have some customers exploring use of DidION, but most of them feel very comfortable starting the DidWeb and then exploring moving up to a permissionless system. But currently everyone starts with this DidWeb world. We're also thinking about other methods to support. Some of them are being proposed by things like European Union Digital Identity Initiative. Some of them are being proposed by large corporations who want to do consortiums and they want to do their own permission thing, whether it's based on Ethereum or some other flavor. But for all of them, we push towards a common abstraction is a DID method. Please provide that and we'll follow the same pattern that we've been talking about as an architecture. And the last one they always ask for the community is we continue to do all of our work in DIF and W3C. So come join that growing movement. So this is a standard slide deck, by the way, I use with all of my customers. And we've seen tremendous uplift on it. There's a bunch of other companies beyond contributing to standards. They're also helping activate now on participating on developing policy, helping evolve business models, and so on and so forth. So that's a quick update. But I do want to say thank you, first of all, to you guys who tirelessly work in forums like these and many others, for that matter. Christina had quite the alphabet soup. So all this work doesn't neatly happen in one room. You guys know it more than most of us do. So I just wanted to take a minute and on behalf of a product guy, wanted to say thank you because this is like a quest. It's a 10-year thing. I feel like I'm a third of the way in. We have a long way to go, but I feel very optimistic because of all these resources we have created now. From starting with this idea of like, what is this decent filing? Why do I even need it? I don't understand. To now, I don't have enough time in my calendar, for my team for that matter, around the world, to handle the rate of inbounds. And a lot of it is still we're spending on education and awareness on Why do you need it? Where is it appropriate? What are some of the challenges? What is the art of possible versus true reality today, at least in our product? These are some of the resources we share with our customers as well. You'll get this deck as well. And if you have other questions for this, please hit us up. I want to be respectful of your time and calendar, though, and we can spend more time on Q&A if you like.
Thank you, Encore. Phil, I think you have some questions. You have the floor.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
Great. This is to, it appears that you're using profiles as a way of contextualizing different dimensions of users for different roles, as opposed to allowing for multiple individual DIDs to be associated or multiple DIDs to be associated with a person. And I was just curious as to why that approach in this particular instance.
I might have misspoken or misunderstood in this case. That's not what we're doing. We are, in fact, doing what you just stated, which is there could be a different identifier associated with any given credential. The relying party or verifier can request one or more of those things, verify each of those subjects association or binding with it independently, but using one set of APIs. The profile construct, in fact, is something that we're exploring in the context of decentralized web nodes and such. Again, starting with an enterprise entity relationship first, and then maybe to an user. The profile word specifically is, as Christina is pointing out in the chat, is in the context of interop. And so the interoperability has a profile which says, said standards ingredients used in this manner, this recipe, results in interoperability among us as ecosystem partners. It was not in the context of a holder presenting credentials.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Encore, I have a question. How does my impression of Active Directory is that it has a registry of employees in big enterprises. And if my impression is correct, how does the DIDs underlying the verify IDs like work with the Active Directory?
It turns out actually it's not even the user's accounts that are in there, right? Those actually sit, the profile of an employee actually sits in human capital management systems like Workday and SAP or Oracle or something. What is in Azure Active Directory or Active Directory is a permission management system, which says, here's how we're going to do access management. Here's how we'll authenticate. Here's how we'll authorize. Here's who has access to what applications, so on and so forth. What we're now introducing is verifiable credentials as one such method using which you can verify attributes, which could have come from Azure Active Directory, Active Directory, Workday, SAP, whatever. And we're saying, here's a standard way of doing it across these disparate systems. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
So it's no longer about usernames and passwords, which is what we have been traditionally relying on, and now the modern incarnation could be an MFA or a FIDO key. But in all of those cases, the binding between an object ID, which is in the directory, and that credential is sitting in the directory. And we're saying, what if it wasn't there? What if it was with the user instead? As a result, I don't have to write apps that speak specifically to one directory at a time. I can talk to anyone.
Got it. So essentially, the Active Directory becomes more of a permissioning and also kind of authorization, authentication kind of service.
That's
right. And
then
right. The ID registry is somewhere else, basically.
Okay. That's right. We've come to learn that, in fact, our customers have told us, the real value that Azure Active Directory provides is this orchestration, right? It's not the source of truth. The source of truth is your human capital management system or your CRM system for consumers or whatever it might be. But what you want is a common interface using which you can ensure integrity, perform security, compliance, all of that stuff that you don't want a peanut butter per application. You do it using a service like Azure Active Directory or your preferred one. You could use Okta or whatever it might be, as long as they support standards.
Got it. So what if, sorry for a follow-up question, what if the service doesn't support these standards? Like some of the, for example, some of the issuers are not as familiar with verifiable credentials and DID
yeah.
concepts. Like what do you do there? Do you do some kind of proxy, like issue on their
yeah.
behalf? Or
It's back to today's world, right? So today, if I go to your, I don't know, you visit my company and we don't set up federation, then I'm going to ask you to create a local account, right?
Yep.
No different. Which is another important point, though, on ensuring compatibility with the existing internet. You can't say, sorry, I can't do business with you. No, no, I have to be able to work with you. We have to provide alternate rails. What are those? And what our users are saying is, I don't want to do different gestures and learn different rituals. I just want one way. Either I fill out a form or scan and present or something, right? And it just better work everywhere.
Got it. Thank you.
Sure.
Any questions from the community?
I'm just going to throw in another chair comment, which I'm sure Harrison would echo, is just really appreciate this anchor and team. Like,
sure.
You know, it's always great seeing this stuff roll out for real, right, in a variety of contexts. But two, actually seeing proposals that will scale, that match and blend with real world use cases and can integrate clearly. Obviously nothing's perfect and we're always going to keep evolving and improving and trying to find better interoperability, you know, et cetera. But, it just really appreciate the openness. This is very helpful. I think it's very helpful to the community. And as I mentioned before, especially around like traceability API, like if that seems like a good next step, we'd be happy to bring you guys into that and collaborate on that. So
absolutely. And look, I genuinely think this is going to take a community effort for all of us to partner together. And I work in some of these other forums.
Yeah.
And when you don't get that feedback of like, is your work mattering? Is it going somewhere? And
how does
it happen? Right. So I do this with my partners and customers. I'm happy to come do this every quarter, every 6 months, whatever you guys think is the right frequency, at least for our part. And we can share updates. I can bring my customers to tell you stories if it helps.
Yeah, that absolutely would be great to get all some of that like customer feedback and integration into other areas. Obviously a lot of us that are, you know, testing your APIs or working with you guys, you know, in one capacity or another, you know, are here on this call, but the ecosystem is broadening so much, right? And that's a great thing. So we should definitely, you know, have some offline, you know, chats between, ourselves. Obviously Christine is one of the chairs of the PC working group, but with Brent as well, right? And just see about, you know, let's look at some of these practical things and make sure we're working some of that stuff into the schedule coming up. So really, once again, really appreciate it. So.
Sure. Thanks everyone. You have our contact info. Please ping us if we can be of any help. Anybody else have any closing comments or anything else?
I have one curiosity question. So any single identity can have multiple, they can wear multiple hats, right? So an identity can be a issuer, it can be a verifier, it can be like a data subject, the holder itself, right? So my question is, how do you kind of deal with the multiple roles or, for lack of a better term, personas, for a single issuer? How do you deal with that? Especially how do you educate, these users as well as how do you on the UI UX side, how do you actually clarify these complicated concepts?
Such a good question. In fact, one of the things I always talk about, the hardest bit about this stuff is actually ease of use. And ease of use on helping audiences understand these concepts. That's one of the key concerns we have around selective disclosure or zero knowledge proof stuff of how do I understand what the heck is actually happening? Forget what you can technically do it. So for our part, this idea of fitting the current model of presenting credentials is something that normal users understand, and creating the ceremony of this is the party requesting something from you. This is the party who's going to receive this information. Hence the idea of a receipt. Ironically, we are trying to model more of the analog world in terms of such ceremonies and rituals. So we feel like the digital world is actually lagging compared to what we can do in our everyday life quite fast and fluid. So that's our inspiration around it. And we've created trust markers. We have created markers in the user presentation, and we can talk through the UX more detailed next time we chat. But these are all the things we test with end users to get feedback on inspiring that confidence, understanding specifically, not just kind of the word service, the lip service of informed consent, like actually trying to test it and making sure like, is there enough information on the screen that helps you understand without you feeling overwhelmed? for example. That's part of the reason why you'll choose Authenticator over somebody else, for example, who has not put in those work and care and finesse that will be required. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Thanks, Ankur. And thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Christina, for coming here and spending the time to kind of present your latest work on the Microsoft Entra Verify ID. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, team. Have a good week. Take care. Good to see so many familiar faces again. Hit me up sometime. Bye.
All right. Any last announcements or reminders, introductions?
I had a question. I tried to access the documents, but it asked me to log in. Is that correct? Did I do something wrong?
Sorry, log in where?
The aka.ms. Those are the links for some of the on the slide.
No, usually you shouldn't have to log in.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought, but okay, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, feel free to send me like which aka.ms doesn't work and it can help. But yeah, no, usually it doesn't require.
I wanted to say
cool. Kalia? Oh, sorry.
I'm new to the group. I just wanted to say hello. I'm Mark Foster. And I'm working on some, I've been coming from a solid world, you know, solid project, Tim Berners-Lee's project. And I'm learning more about the community here and decentralized ID. So I look forward to learning from you guys.
Awesome. Great to have you. Thanks for jumping in on the reintro at the end here. So
thank you.
Welcome, Mark. Kalia, do you have any announcements that you want to make?
To me?
Oh, Kalia.
Oh.
I'm okay. I don't know. Oh, I didn't have anything to say. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks.
All right, no problem. Thank you. Thanks a lot.